What can you say about 2020? I remember at the beginning of the year, all these people having these pictures of glasses and talking about 2020 and doing all these wonderful little illustrations and puns about having 2020 vision and all this stuff like that. And now, right about now, 2020 is probably listed as the top year that people just want to forget, you know? I mean, you look back at COVID-19. Oh, golly, I could begin to list so many things, right? But you have the economic complications from COVID-19. You've got politically and racially motivated riots that have plagued the streets of our countries, to the threat of murder hornets, asteroids. And of course, there's actually a case of the plague that was found in South Lake Tahoe. And there's, of course, tornadoes in the south, hurricanes in the east, and wildfires on an apocalyptic proportion happening here on the West Coast that sometimes causes the air to simply be not fit to breathe. It's been a rough year so far. And well, you know, you might be facing some of those struggles or trials, and hopefully you're not facing them on the level of an impending wildfire of an apocalyptic proportion, but it could be that you're struggling in some other way that might be just as serious for you. You know, maybe you're dealing with an illness or the loss of a job, or maybe it's the breakup of a relationship, or you've got problems with the congregation that you're a part of, or maybe it's the death of a loved one, you know? Without a doubt, we do face trials and troubles. We face disease and defeat, and folks, well, they face divorce and depression. And sometimes it just happens all of a sudden, you know? Not to mention that our world is, again, caught up in this pandemic with somewhere around 200,000 people dying with COVID in the United States alone. And while the virus has spread all over the world, bringing sickness and death, it's also caused just a regular upheaval in everyday life. Businesses, stores, churches, families, it's really created a lot of issues. There are many that are still and panic and fear about the present and the future. And so it's with all that in mind, I thought it'd be good, after we finished our journey through the book of Philippians, to engage in a new series of messages called Standing on the Promises of God. Because that's all we've really got when you think about it. That's all that we really can rely upon, honestly. And it's all based upon really what the Apostle Paul had to say when he was on trial before King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. So if you'd like to look at this one verse, you're welcome to turn on over there to Acts chapter 26 and verse 6. There, Paul tells Agrippa why he's on trial. He says, "And now it's because of my hope and what God has promised our fathers, that I'm on trial today." Okay, so when you think about a trial, you usually think of someone convicted of some terrible crime, and, you know, so, okay, so you look at this and say, okay, well, what crime did Paul commit? Okay, he is on trial for putting his hope in God's promises. You know, I mean, think about that. Paul built his life. He built his ministry on the promises of God, promises made by God and kept by God. Promises like the ones made, centuries before his time to Noah and Abraham and Joshua and David. Think about it. Because of God's promises, Noah built an ark. He never saw rain before, you know, and even though it never rained before, he went ahead and did what God said. And why? Because God said so. And he trusted in God's promises. And because of God's promises, Abraham left a very good home for one that he never saw. And why? Because he trusted in God's promises. And because of God's promises, Joshua led 2 million people into enemy territory, the promised land. And why again? Because of God's promises. And because of God's promises, the young David went up against the giant named Goliath with just, what, a sling and 5 smooth stones? And why? Because he believed in God's promises. Of course, while some of God's promises are positive and they assure us of God's blessings, some of God's promises are what we would call negative. And those are the kinds of guarantees of consequences. Consequences. Either way, all of God's promises are binding because God is not only a promise maker, he's a promise keeper. And so let's take some time this morning and talk about how we can hope in God's promises. And we're going to do that by looking at a small passage in 2 Peter chapter 1. This is 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. Now, to set the context, you'll remember that, well, Peter is writing to Christians about AD 60. And that's at a time when the church was struggling not only from persecution from the outside by the Romans, but also from within, from false teachers who made wild claims like, hey, you could live without any kind of moral restraint because after all, Jesus will forgive you. And you know, over in Romans, Paul had the same issue with the Christians there. So Peter's having to deal with these false teachers, teaching things not right. And then he's also having to deal with these false teachers talking about how the second coming of Christ is never going to happen. And so Peter encourages them, starting in verse 3, saying, God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now, notice that the promises of God are called precious here in verse 4. God's promises are precious. Of course, Peter has in mind particular precious promises, those particular precious promises that can give us life and godliness because of Jesus Christ. And that should not only comfort us, but also empower us to be able to endure all that we're going through and to be able to do all that God wants us to do. And so when I think about that, I reflect upon what the writer of Hebrews had to say in chapter 10 and verse 23, that we're to hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. God is faithful to his promises. We can hope in them. Now again, back in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, Peter tells us that these great and precious promises are given to us and make us participants or partakers, depending upon your translation, with Christ. In other words, well, the Greek word here is koinonia, and a lot of people have heard of that word, I think, koinonia. In other words, we have this commonality with Christ because we are in Christ. You know, we have this partaking of things of Christ because we're in Christ. And that part's important. We need to be in Christ if we want to be partakers with Christ. And that's because it's only when we are baptized into Christ that we can come into contact with the blood of Christ shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And it's there in our baptism that we receive the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we can share in that divine nature with Christ. Because the Spirit now dwells within us marking us with the seal of redemption, setting us apart. It's a Holy Spirit setting us apart for God and allowing us to escape the corruption that's in the world that Peter talks about in verse 4. How can we do that? How can we escape that type of stuff? Well, again, because of the very great and precious promises of God through Jesus Christ. Just think about all the promises that God has made and kept in the past. I thought about listing them all, even putting them in our church bulletin, but there are thousands, you know? And I could probably go through them all, but that would probably take us a couple of hours, you know, and insert the obligatory long sermon joke here for preachers, right? We're not going to do that, right? So we're just going to take a look at a couple of them and look at the evidence that God has faithfully kept his promises. God has faithfully kept his promises, everyone. Meaning that since God has this extensive track record of promise keeping, we can look at that and be confident that God will continue to faithfully keep his promises. God has this humongous resume that you can go back and check all the references to and say, yep, he did that, he did that, he did that, he did that. God's the one for the job. You know, and again, we can't go through all those thousands of promises that God has faithfully kept, but what I want to do is share just five of them, just a few, five of them, that I find personally encourage me. Okay, that these, when I remember them, I feel uplifted and encouraged, okay? And that first one is over in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 16 and verse 18. There Jesus promised, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. There's really two promises there. First one is that he built his church, and he did that in Acts chapter 2, okay? But the church has continued to be built upon that precious cornerstone of Jesus Christ, who laid that foundation almost 2,000 years ago. And even though Satan has, does, and will continue to attack the church of Christ, it will always stand. And how do I know that? Because God promised us, and God faithfully keeps his promises. And I find encouragement in that. Especially with a lot of things that the church is going through now with COVID-19. Everybody's affected by it, including the church. All right. Another precious promise of God is, I will be with you. And God has made this promise to his people over and over and over again throughout all time. And that could probably be because we tend to forget that God is with us. You know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. God never leaves us, it's we who leave him. For example, Joshua. God told Joshua that no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life as I was with Moses. See, he promised Moses he'd be with him. He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's Joshua 1:5. And in going out to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, we are promised that God will be with us always to the very end of the age. And that's Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. God has also promised that I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. And you know, I don't know about you, but there are times where I just feel like, oh, this is pointless. When is all this going to be over? When is the COVID going to be done? How are we going to get through all this stuff? But to know that God is with me and has promised to strengthen my spirit, well, I find that really encouraging. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, there God says this, do not fear. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. If God is your God, do not fear, do not be dismayed. God is with you. He says, I'll strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, the powerful hand of strength. God is going to give us strength from his strength, you see. And of course, that isn't just an old covenant promise because it's in Isaiah, because if you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, we're told that the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. That doesn't mean you're invincible like Superman. You go walk out in the middle of traffic. But it does mean that God will strengthen your spirit. He will strengthen your soul. He'll help you to get through whatever you're going through, okay? And if we're honest with ourselves, I know I'm honest with it. If it wasn't for God, I'd probably be crying right now. That's another story. Another thing that God promised he would do is pour out his spirit. And that promise was uttered by a great number of the prophets of the old covenant. But the one that's most notable is the prophet Joel. And that prophecy by Joel was finally fulfilled on the day of Pentecost when the church began. And the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit stands true today for me and you. God promises the gift of the Spirit to those who believe and are baptized, just like Peter preaches over in Acts chapter 2 and verses 38 and 39, that those believers are to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And again, I find that comforting, because with the Spirit of God in me, I know that I am his and that he's coming back to claim me when the time comes. Okay, just one more precious promise. Again, these are the few that I find especially encouraging in times when I'm going through things, you know. I hope they are for you too. And this last precious promise is really the last one in the whole Bible. And that is in Revelation 22 and verse 20, where Jesus simply says, I'm coming soon. And if Jesus promised it, I believe it. I believe it. Those words can be very comforting to us. I know they are to me. This has probably been the year I've prayed the most for Jesus to come back, you know. It's just been one of those years, and I know it has been for other people too. Back when Jesus was still alive before he went to the cross, he had to also give an encouraging talk to the disciples because, you know, he was going to be going to the cross and dying, and they didn't really understand all that. But he wanted to encourage them that he would be back. And so he said in John chapter 14 and verses 1 through 3, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Now I've got good news. He's gone and prepared that place for me and you. He came back to them and he ascended again. He said he's coming back again. That place is waiting for you and me. And guess what? There's no sickness, no death, no dying, no COVID, no masks, no social distancing. And I know that if you were here, I'd hope to get an amen. You know, what Jesus said there in John, that must have really encouraged them. It encourages me to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that he's going to be coming back for them, that they're not going to be alone, that they're not going to have to go through all the struggles alone. And for you and me, again, to know that we are saved and that we have the promise of eternal life, I tell you again, man, that just helps me to get through the day. It does, you know. We have the promises of God to thank for that. Now, again, like I said, there are thousands of great, precious, and promises of God in the Scriptures, but these five, that the church will never be destroyed, that God will be with us, that God will strengthen us and guide us by His Spirit and come back again, I find those promises very encouraging, and I pray they also help you. Now, since God keeps his promises, and God, again, has a lot of great and precious promises, an important question that we should have, that we need to answer is, how do I receive God's promises? Because if he's made all these great promises and he keeps them, I want some of those promises, you know? Well, the first thing we really need to do is to prayerfully study God's word, okay? And that's because that's the only place where we're going to find out if the promises of God that are made are actually made by God. And I say that because there are people who hear promises supposed to be by God, and they base their life upon them, and then something goes wrong, and they blame God and say, but God, you promised. And I look at the scriptures and I say, no, we didn't. Okay? There was no such promise in the scriptures. But they didn't know that because they didn't prayerfully study God's word. So we need to do that, to know God's precious promises. Second, to receive God's promises, we must wait. Gotta wait. Patient. Just think about Abraham. Oh, Abraham is the one I think about. Abraham, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 15, we're told that after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. So how long did Abraham wait? 25 years. 25 years. He was 100 years old when he finally received the promise that God made to him 25 years before. That is a long time to wait for the promise of God. But when that promise came, he still wanted it. The promise was still there, and he had a baby boy, Isaac. Brought him laughter. That's what his name means, you know. And I don't know if you've had to wait that long for a promise, but again, the thing is, you know, God's time is not our time. We can't rush God. God works in his own time. Still, it can be hard to wait, especially for something you really, really want. But if after waiting for it, for what might like seem forever, when you eventually get it, if you still really want it, then hey, it was worth the wait, you know? Okay. The third way to receive God's promises is by living in obedience to God's will. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36 teaches us that you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you'll receive what he had promised. Think about it. Along with God's precious promises is the fact that many of the Lord's promises are conditional. In other words, we have to fulfill our responsibilities before we can receive the promises of God. For example, God's great promise of salvation. That's the best promise that God has ever made. But God just doesn't simply say, okay, everybody's saved. You know, I think sometimes it'd be kind of nice that way, but that's not the way God designed it, okay? Think about it. Before we can have God's precious promise of salvation, we have to do what he says in order to receive it. And on top of that, like Hebrews says, and like Revelation says, and like the Lord says, we have to remain faithful to Christ until he comes back again. Or we go to be with him, or else, hey, that promise, you know, you didn't keep your side of the bargain, okay? All right, well, just one more. One more way that we receive God's promises, and that is by faith. Need to have faith. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is the key. Faith is trust. Trust in God's promises. Trust in God. Have faith in God. It is the key to our relationship with God. It's the key to our relationship with our spouse, with our children. Driving down the road, you trust and have faith that the other driver is going to stay on the other side of the road. Faith and trust is the basis of our relationship with one another. It's the basis of our relationship with God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And that's why, as Christians, we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, we trust in the invisible God. We stand on his promises. That said, again, being a person of faith doesn't mean that we don't doubt on occasion. You know, it just means that, you know, we believe more than we doubt. And any doubt that might happen to come about causes us to study more and to search through God's word and to grow and to add to our faith knowledge, like Peter will continue in 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, the point is with all that, things are going to fail us. Promises are going to be broken. Things are going to fall apart. But God will never fail us. God keeps his promises. As we go ahead and wrap things up today, I want you to think about the promises of God that maybe you need to lay claim to. Maybe it's the one that we talked about from our series in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, the peace of God that's promised to us as a Christian, that transcends all understanding. Is that the promise that you need? Or is it the promise of victory over temptation, like we're promised in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that if a temptation is before us, that there'll be a way to avoid it, you know? Or maybe you need some wisdom in a decision or something going on in your life. We have the promise in James 1:5 that if we ask God for that wisdom, we will get it. Or maybe you're just having a hard time with everything going on in your life, you know, and you're wondering if anything good could come out of whatever's going on. Well, let me suggest you take hold of 1 Peter 5:10, where Peter encourages his readers and you and me that the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, and if you put things into perspective, what we're going through now is a little while compared to eternity. God will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Or maybe there's something going on in your life that's giving you some sort of heavy burden, guilt feeling, you know, and you would just give anything to wipe that away. Well, again, that's possible. 1 John 1:9 promises us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And that's just the top of the beginning of all the promises of God. Whatever it is that anyone needs, God can help out if we trust in his promises. Just think about the possibilities if we actually trusted in God's promises. When we finally learn to actually have faith in the promises of God. And when you do that, our lives will simply never be the same. So go ahead, I challenge you. Change your life today and trust in the promises of God. You know, there are some Christians that don't even trust in the promises of God. If you're not a Christian today, man, you can show some people what it's really like. Learn to trust in the promises of God. Why again? Because God keeps his promises. And he promised that he would save us if we obeyed the gospel. And so if there's anyone watching right now who is not yet a Christian, then we pray that you come to trust in the precious promises of God and make that choice to obey the gospel today. To admit that you've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that God sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we could have the forgiveness of sins and be reconciled to God. And then when we confess our faith in Jesus as the Son of God, repent of our sins, and be immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of our sins, we come up out of the water born again. We're saved, you know? And then we just continue to live our life faithfully until Christ comes or we go to be with Him. For those of us who are already Christians, I want to encourage you to remember to trust wholly in the promises of God, to stand on those promises. That's what this sermon series is about, to remind us as Christians of the promises of God and to stand firm on them. For those who might not know about them, learn about them and to trust in His promises. Again, if anyone has the need to share, to seek prayer, or to become a Christian for the very first time, I want to encourage you to message us through Facebook, or you can email me directly at minister@ovchurch.org. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, do so want to thank you for your great and precious promises. Father, I thank you so much for Jesus. I thank you for your church. I thank you that you're always with us and you've given us your Spirit. Father, I do so thank you that you've promised to send Jesus back again to take us home. Father, we pray that might be soon. Father, we ask that you be with each and every one of us, wherever we may be, sharing in this time together, that you would bless us and help us to trust in your promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Again, I want to thank you for making us a part of your Sunday and pray that maybe you'll worship with us the next time we meet here in Orangevale, like 9 a.m. out front of the building. You know, it's a good time. We do wear masks. We socially distance. And we fellowship, take the Lord's Supper, study the Word of God. And of course, you know, we understand if you can't make it out or so choose to stay at home and, you know, take care of your time with God as it will be here on Facebook at 11. So if that's your choice, we do hope you continue to join us here at 11 on Facebook. Thank you. God bless.